A first taste of Trump's trade agenda. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Trump administration is planning to issue two executive orders on trade today. U.S. trading relations with the rest of the world were a source of constant complaint by the president during the campaign. These orders will be his administration's first big action on this. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following the story. Mariel, can you just explain what these orders would do?
One of them calls for a report that'll look into why we have a trade deficit. It's going to go through country by country and measure trade abuses, basically. The order will also look at previous U.S. trade agreements. Did they deliver on their promises, for instance? The report is due in 90 days, and after that, the administration can use the results to decide what to do next. And the second order is about enforcement. It'll give the government more power to collect penalties from companies, from countries, that is, that violate U.S. trade laws, specifically targeting countries that subsidize products and export them really cheaply. The idea is that gives them an unfair advantage.
Yeah. Ultimately, what is the president trying to get at with these orders?
President Trump's been talking about trade for a long time. He points to the trade imbalance between the U.S. and other countries, which was more than $502 billion last year. And he says, look, this means we're getting a bad deal. We're being treated unfairly. These executive orders lay the groundwork for the government to address those concerns.
Most economists would say a trade deficit does not necessarily mean we're being taken advantage of. Have officials acknowledged that?
Right. I mean, sometimes the U.S. can't make enough of a product to meet demand, or other countries do it better. Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, he made that point when he announced the orders. But he said the report will give U.S. officials a better picture of what is causing the trade deficit.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you.
Thanks.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down more than 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range. Amazon, the massive online retailer, is inviting large food manufacturers to its Seattle headquarters for several days of talks, according to Bloomberg. What do they have to talk about? Well, Amazon wants to sell more food, and it wants food giants like General Mills and Mondelez to rely less on big grocery chains to sell their packaged foods and more on Amazon. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has details.
Packaged foods have been in a rut in recent years. Consumers increasingly want fresh foods instead of stuff like canned soup. Deanna Sheehan is with the consulting firm Kantar Retail. She says, sure, Amazon might be courting brands with flat growth,
but these brands in and of themselves are worth billions of dollars in sales.
She says Amazon will likely try to line up special pricing offers. Retailers like Walmart already use their muscle to do that kind of thing. And Sheehan says Amazon needs to lower its grocery prices.
They have not truly succeeded in breaking through in grocery the way they have other places.
But grocery chains might not like their suppliers partnering with Amazon. John Stanton is a food marketing professor at St. Joseph's University.
My guess is the Krogers and the Walmarts are going to say, I understand, but we're not going to give you as much space in our store.
Meanwhile, Amazon has also unveiled a concept for a grocery pickup store with the first two locations in Seattle. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
When it comes to job loss in the American economy, it's very easy to blame outsiders. Globalization and trade have gotten a lot of attention. But in many cases, the real competition for our jobs has come from automation, robots, artificial intelligence, software algorithms. They're increasingly replacing work done by people. Our own David Brancaccio first explored this phenomenon 5 years ago with a series called Robots Ate My Job. Over the next 3 weeks, he's looking at it with a fresh lens, this time what we're calling robot-proof jobs. David is here now to fill us in. David, long time no see. Where you been?
Well, Anchorman is all very well and good, but you may have forgotten I'm also a reporter, Sabri.
Ah, yes. Yes, I'd forgotten.
So I've been on a road trip throughout the Midwest, a 1,200-mile arc of the Midwest, looking for robot-proof jobs. In the face of technology, which is moving very fast, this time may be different from the olden days when technology always led to better jobs and higher paying jobs and increased standards of living. We're not quite so sure if it's doing that longer term or if we're just in a phase right now. But what we need to know now, right, is which are the decent careers in the face of all this robotization, automation, artificial intelligence, software algorithms, and which are the ones that maybe are more dead end. So I found some wonderful people from Pennsylvania on through to Wisconsin who have those jobs.
I hope there's some radio jobs in the automation proof section.
Actually, the data shows journalist is okay. We do worry about the audio engineers, though. There's a high degree of potential robotization there, the data show.
Yikes. So beyond choosing a career that doesn't get swallowed by a robot, what else can we do about this?
There are some truly intense, radical policy proposals on the table, not for tomorrow, not for next week, but in the fullness of time that will completely hurt your head. And we're going to explore those in the third week of our coverage.
Awesome. Can you give us a hint?
Well, you know, the Bill Gates suggested the government should create a robot tax to fund people displaced by technology. There's an idea of micropayments every time you give up a little bit of your privacy to a social media company. I know, revolutionary, and there are a whole lot more. So, Sabri, I'll host next week as we get the discussion rolling. I will do the road trip starting the week of April the 10th, and some of those future ideas that may hurt your head, week of April 17th.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, David, so thank you.
All right.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.